You're listening to Michigan Radio. Good morning, I'm Doug Tribou. Mystic River, Shutter Island, and coming in December, Live by Night. Those are just some of the major Hollywood films based on stories by Dennis Lehane. After building a career as one of America's most popular and most respected crime novelists, Lehane began writing widely acclaimed historical fiction. And he's also built a parallel career in the worlds of television and film, including time as a writer for HBO's The Wire and writing the screenplay for one of James Gandolfini's final films, The Drop. Dennis Lehane will be appearing at the Frauenthal Theater in Muskegon on Thursday, October 27th, as part of the Muskegon Area Arts and Humanities Festival, and he joins me now. Dennis, welcome to Morning Edition on Michigan Radio.
Hey, thanks for having me.
The public loves crime, detective, mystery genres, but occasionally I'll read or hear a review of a crime novel where the reviewer almost sounds surprised that he or she actually enjoyed the book. Do you think that the genre gets short shrift when it comes to reviews and sort of credit and respect in the literary world?
There was a major shift in sort of cultural and critical perception of crime fiction. And, you know, it was probably 10 years late, in my opinion, because the people who influenced the people who are getting the credit for sort of maybe raising the bar a little bit, they weren't given the credit that they deserved. But we all knew how great they were. You know, the writers today who certainly aren't ghettoized, I mean, when you think of like Kate Atkinson or Tana French or finally James Lee Burke, I mean, I think there's definitely a sense that it's a literary form that can hold its head high.
I want to get to some of those predecessors in just a moment, and I want to do that by talking with you about The Drop, which started out as a short story you wrote, then you wrote a screenplay based on it, and that became the film starring Tom Hardy and James Gandolfini. It's about a mob bar and a series of some subtle and not so subtle power plays that all revolve around the bartender who's played by Tom Hardy. What about that particular story drew you to do so many variations of it? You ended up putting out a novel based on it as well. What attracted you to that sort of subtle approach so much?
For good or for bad, just across the board, you know, where I'm obsessed is I'm character obsessed. Bob, I think, is the greatest example of that. He was the first chapter of a failed novel. The book just never worked. But about 6 years later, I realized I was still thinking about this guy. And right around that time, somebody asked me to write a short story, and I said, oh, let me dust off that first chapter from that book that never worked. And then that short story became the short story Animal Rescue, which then got interest from Hollywood. Then they asked me to write the screenplay. Do you think you can blow this up into a film? And I said, yeah, sure. And then we filmed it, and a lot of what was in the script got cut, and then a lot of what was in the movie ultimately gets cut and left on the cutting room floor, a lot of the character-driven stuff. And then around that time, my editor said, hey, you remember that book you owed us 15 years ago that you never delivered? Do you think you could tell the story now? And I thought, yeah, I think I got a handle on it now. And then I rewrote, you know, the book, The Drop, to drill much deeper into this world more than anything, and into the characters. So you learn a lot more about Eric Deeds. You learn a lot more about Marv, who's the James Gandolfini character. And you learn a lot more about Bob. Once the book was done, I was like, it was an exorcism. Like, Bob and I can finally say goodbye.
Well, you mentioned some of the pioneers or your predecessors in the crime genre. The Drop reminds me of works by George V. Higgins, who wrote The Friends of Eddie Coyle and Kogan's Trade in the 70s. Those stories, like yours in this case, have so much going on between the lines. The dialogue is about one thing, but it's really about another. And James Gandolfini was in an adaptation of Kogan's Trade called Killing Me Softly. It's clear that artists and writers are attracted to that subtlety. Is it a harder sell in Hollywood when there aren't any bombs or aliens or explosions to turn it into big box office numbers?
It's a harder sell in some ways, but The Drop is a perfect example. There was never a moment during the making of The Drop at any stage where any of us thought, oh, we're going to make $100 million. I mean, it's not that type of movie.
Mm-hmm.
You bring up, you know, George V. Higgins, which is a very good way, and Killing Them Softly is a good example. It was a very similar aesthetic. We all are trying to do the films that we grew up on, and that means the great films of the early 1970s, which is, I would say, arguably the greatest decade in film. We're not trying to do superhero movies. We're trying to do The French Connection. We're trying to do Sidney Lumet, Dog Day Afternoon, Serpico. You know, I mean, that's what we're interested in. So when we did The Drop, I remember feeling after the first screening, wow, we did the film we wanted to do, and I don't think America wants to see it, which was fine. And The Drop did respectable business, and it's got a really wonderful life on cable right now. So I'm just trying to do the best piece of work I can do, and then in terms of whether the public shows up or not, I could care less.
Some writers have a love-hate relationship with seeing their books turned into movies or television shows, but you've obviously had a string of really well-received projects. When you're not involved in writing the screenplay, is it hard to turn over your work to another writer or director? I mean, I guess it's easier when Clint Eastwood is directing Mystic River or Martin Scorsese is directing Shutter Island, but is there a leap of faith there for you?
Right. It's the leap that's the important part. And so is it hard for me? Yes, it's extremely hard for me. So the only control I have is to whom I sell it. And I am very difficult at that point. At that stage in the negotiation, I'm very hard. I will only sell to entities who I deeply respect as fellow craftsmen, if you will. And then from that point on, I walk away. I am like, here's my cell phone. Call me if you ever need me. Otherwise, I'll see you at the premiere. And it's worked out really nicely.
Right from the start of your career, with your first novel, A Drink Before the War, race played a big role in your writing. Racial issues between blacks and whites and Latinos are also featured prominently in your historical fiction trilogy that begins with The Given Day. What's changed about how you think about racial tensions in America in the 20-plus years since you wrote A Drink Before the War?
Nothing. Absolutely nothing. I think it's the issue of our time. I think it's the issue of the last 100 years. Probably my very earliest sort of socio-political thought as a kid, I remember this, because I grew up in extreme racial strife in Boston during the federal desegregation of the Boston Public Schools. And I remember thinking at one point when I was probably, I don't know, 10 or 11, wow, it seems to be in the best interest of the people who have all the money to keep the people who don't fighting amongst themselves. Hmm. And I still believe that to this day. And I'm not surprised by Ferguson. And I'm not surprised that there's going to be more. Sooner or later, we have to have a very honest discussion on race and our policies of ghettoization. And I think that that's something that, white America just does not want to look at.
You were a writer for The Wire, the acclaimed HBO series set in Baltimore, and the relationship between police and the black communities in the poor neighborhoods of that city are central to that series. Was your awareness of that tension part of what drew you to that show?
What drew all of us is that, if you look at the writers on The Wire, the ones who didn't come from TV, the novelists, we were all urban novelists. That's how we define ourselves. I don't think of myself as a crime writer. I think of myself as an urban writer. And just because there tends to be a lot of crime in urban areas, well, hey, something to write about. But I'm interested in cities and how they work and how they don't work. And that's what led me to The Wire. As far as, the relationship between police departments and poor minority communities, I think it's very clear in all of my books that I have great respect for police departments. We are sending these men and women every day into a type of warfare. At the same time, look, how many cases of unarmed white people getting shot have we documented? Unarmed white people being shot by police have we documented in this country? Because I bet the number's really low.
Where do you see the role of social commentary in today's novels? Obviously, there's a lot of social observation in your work. Do you see that as an important element of today's fiction?
I love this quote by E.L. Doctorow where he said, a novel is not about the time in which it is set. It is about the time in which it is written. And I think that's true. My three historicals are probably my three most topical books because they're very much about America now through the lens of America then. But I don't think it's the job of a writer to do social commentary. I just find that it leaks into everything I do.
Live by Night is the second book in your trilogy of historical fiction that centers on the Coughlins, a Boston family that produces some police officers and a very prominent gangster. Ben Affleck starring in and directed the film version, which will have a limited release on Christmas Day and a wider release in January. Those three books cover basically the first half of the 20th century. That was a really turbulent period in American history, clearly two world wars, prohibition, the depression. Is that a fun process for you to dig into that and get those details and find out things that you can use to help you move the story along? Or is the research just sort of a chore that you're getting out of the way to set the trappings for the book?
You know, once the sort of foundational research is done, then it just becomes really fun. For example, when I was writing Live by Night, I had a scene where I couldn't have a character fly, get on a plane. If the character got on a plane, which was the easiest way to solve his problem, then it would make my life hell. So I said, all right, 1935, how many people were afraid of flying? And I researched it. And to get on a plane in 1935 would have been like someone saying to you, hey, you want to hop on the space shuttle? I mean, people were terrified of it, and for good reason. Planes were crashing all the time. That led me to, okay, great, now I got a reason this guy would have fear of flying, because most people didn't like to fly back then. And then I discovered that the first stewardesses, just in the same bit of research, that the first stewardesses were actually air nurses. That's what they were called. They were called air nurses. And their job was to deal with your air sickness and to keep you stable and keep you from having a panic attack and to give you gum because planes weren't pressurized. And all of that came from just, you know, 2 minutes of research. And I was like, that was just great.
The Given Day is the first book in the historical fiction trilogy, but we're getting Live by Night as the first film. How did that come about, and do you think we'll see The Given Day on the big screen, or will the rest of the trilogy get made? Where will that go from here, do you think?
Well, I don't know. I mean, there's been talk for years on and off about The Given Day, but we've discussed it as long-form television. We've discussed it as a film, although I really have to be convinced. Right now there's strong interest from a highly respectable concern in L.A. about doing The Given Day as a film. And I've agreed, at the very least, because of the people involved, to have a meeting. But I've said point blank, I don't see how you compress this. Because Live by Night, which is less than half the length of The Given Day, even on screen, it's like, wow, that's packing a lot of stuff in here. And that's the simple one. So The Given Day, which is gargantuan, seems to me to be maybe defy the ability to film it.
I read that you have control of the story for the other books, but that you don't have control of the names of the characters. So if The Given Day went to a different production company for television, would you have to change the names? Do I have that right?
Yes. That's it. Basically, you can't wrap up my characters. All I have to do is change their name. So their name can be changed to Connelly. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
They can just be the Connelly family as opposed to the Coughlin family. The person who gave me that idea was actually, I was a big fan of books Donald Westlake wrote under the pseudonym Richard Stark. And the lead character in those books was a thief named Parker. No first name. When Westlake first sold the right to one of those books, that's exactly what he did. He said, you can have this book, but you can't have the character. And so there have been like 5 Parker movies, but his name is never Parker.
Readers of crime fiction are always looking for a new mystery. Are there any up-and-coming writers that you're keeping an eye on you think people should be reading?
The way I put it is, you know, one of my best buddies is a carpenter, and he doesn't come home and work on his house. If you do it all day, I'm always kind of amazed and in awe of my contemporaries who keep up with all the other stuff that's out there, who read nonstop. I'm like, man, where do you find the time? And when I come in at the end of the day, and then, you know, I've worked hard, and then once I get my kids down to bed, then I've got like, you know, an hour. You know, it's like, oh, do I dive into a book that's very much like the thing I was just working on all day? Or, oh, look, SportsCenter.
What are you working on now?
I have a book coming out in May called Since We Fell, and I'm working on rewrites of that, and I'm also working on rewrites of the script, because I've already written the script. I'm working on a TV show of Stephen King's novel, Mr. Mercedes, when I'm starting to think about, very idly starting to think about my next novel, but it feels like it's going to be a beast, so that could be a few years on that one.
Novelist and screenwriter Dennis Lehane will be appearing at the Frauenthal Theater in Muskegon on Thursday, October 27th, as part of the Muskegon Area Arts and Humanities Festival. Tickets are available at ahfest.org. Dennis, thanks very much for speaking with me.
Hey, thanks so much for having me.